And I don't mean to ask you that question. Are you a wise person? Because I think that wisdom is one of those attributes of life that we can quite never get enough of, and it's one of those things that we consistently seek, and no matter what our age category is, we are continually seeking to improve in the area of wisdom. As a matter of fact, James says to us, if you lack wisdom, ask of me, and I will give it to you liberally, and I will not chastise you for asking from me. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book of Proverbs, after Psalm. And this morning we are going to talk about wisdom. Now I know this is Mother's Day and that I'm supposed to speak a Mother's Day sermon today, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak on wisdom today. Excuse me. So if you'll turn to chapter 1, we're going to talk about wisdom and what it is. Several years ago, there was a man by the name of H. Jackson Brown, and his son Adam was getting ready to go to college. And so he said, you know, I don't know whether his mother and I have done everything necessary to prepare him for life, whether we've given him all the instructions that he needs. And so he sat down and he penned this little book called Life's Little Instruction Book. It became a fabulous bestseller in the book world, and it made him a lot of money. Now, 3,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was the king of Israel. Solomon was called the wisest man in the world. And so Solomon sat down over a period of we don't know for sure how long, and there were some other contributors to it. And Solomon decided to set down some statements that help us deal with life. It helps us deal with those everyday issues of life. The book of Proverbs is not necessarily a theological treatise about a lot of issues that we face from a theological perspective, but it's just life principles. Sometimes it's called the Bible of the businessman because it just simply gives us sound practical advice. And one of those things that it talks about and one of those things that it emphasizes very heavily is wisdom. And so I'd like to read for you the first chapter of Proverbs, the first 7 verses, because in these verses, Solomon tells us why he wrote the book. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for obtaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, and for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, he says to us, wisdom is supreme. And therefore get wisdom. Though it cost you all that you have, get wisdom. And so we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is wisdom? How does it work? There are all kinds of different definitions that you can get for wisdom. It is the application of knowledge into the issues of life. We know that wisdom is the attainment of instructions that help us to make good judgments. It is truth for living, and all of those are fine. But I want to give you a very simple definition of wisdom today, which will, I hope will help you as we look through the book of Proverbs. No matter which definition you like, I believe that this is a simple one that will help you understand it. Wisdom is simply the ability to consistently make good decisions. Now, would you like to consistently make good decisions? Can you imagine how much different your life would be if you consistently made good decisions from the time that you were growing up until the time that you laid down your head for the final time? Life is made up of the decisions that we make and the decisions that the people around about us make. And the better and stronger and more truthful those decisions are, the better quality of life we're going to have. And the poorer decisions that we make and those around about us make, The poor is going to be our quality of life. There is a preacher story that is told, and a preacher story is one that's probably not true, but you can tell it as if it were. There's a preacher story about a banker, and he was retiring, and he brought in this young protege, and he wanted to teach him, like Solomon is, all the things about banking. And so after he had taught him the instructional information that he wanted to pass on to him, the young protege said, "Sir, what is the real secret about being a great banker? Give me the three key principles." And he said this: good decisions, good decisions, good decisions. And so the protege said, "Well, okay, but how do you make good decisions?" He says, "Very easy. Bad decisions, bad decisions, bad decisions. For bad decisions help us understand that we've done it wrong. But isn't it much better to be able to make good decisions?" So we're going to take a look here at the benefits of wisdom. I hope you have your Bibles with you. You got your Bibles today? Let me see them. Let me see here. Okay, that's good on that side. Sean, where's your Bible? Okay, Sean. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at several verses of Scripture in Proverbs today. And I'd like for you to follow along with the outline that we have given you. And hopefully this will help us in making good decisions. I think this is equally applicable interculturally, no matter what culture you have come from. I think it's applicable intergender. I think it's applicable in interage groupings. It doesn't matter where you are. Good decisions form the basis of a good life. And Proverbs is full of these kinds of deals. Now, sometimes it will use the word she when talking about wisdom. And this is a principle called personification. We know it's not actually talking about a person. It's just giving wisdom characteristics of an individual. So let's take a look, and let's start with chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. What are the benefits? Why would I want to be a wise person? Chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." So the first benefit is perception. How do you see life? We know that life is a combination of good things that happen to us and bad things that happen. It is a combination of open doors and barriers. It is a combination of moving forward and sometimes moving sideways or moving backwards. And so we have to decide, what is my overall view on life? How am I going to perceive life? And how you see life to a great degree will indicate your happiness. I'm sorry this morning. Can you get some water? I am sorry. Some people consistently see problems, pain after time after time after time. Pain is part of our world. We can't deny that. But there are other individuals who, in the midst of pain and in the midst of problems, will somehow see God and His goodness and His love for them. And even in the midst of difficult times, they will say, "This isn't fun. This isn't good. I don't like this." And yet somehow I can see we're moving forward to a better degree of reward. I apologize to you, my friends. Thank you, Sean. You're forgiven for the Bible misquote here this morning. Chapter 2, verse 12. Perception. How do you see life? Wisdom says, view life with understanding, knowing it's not going to be perfect, but knowing that God has said, "I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to walk with you through life." Verse 12, chapter 2. "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men." Since this is Mother's Day, I won't say men and women, but from wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. And that deals with prevention. Wisdom will give you prevention. Many of the troubles that we encounter in life is because we have listened to the wrong people. We have listened to people who have an ulterior motive rather than the desires of God's heart as they give us advice. And it says, if you have wisdom, you will be able to understand when individuals are not having your best interest at heart. I don't want to say this just for teenagers because I think it's totally true for every age group. The friends that you choose and the advice that they give you will go a long way towards shaping and molding your lifestyle. And when you make decisions because of peer pressure, rather than because of truth, rather than because of the central core of God's Word, you're moving away from wisdom. Your friends are important, but you have to have wisdom in listening to the right people. The third thing, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. The third thing is prolong. All of these start with P, even though I had to move some around a little bit to get a P word in there. This is prolong. Now, we know, we're adults, we know that wisdom won't necessarily give you longer years in your life. This is a general statement. And we know there are wonderful Christian people who have died young in their life. And yet we also know that when we live in a wise way, when we make good choices concerning our lifestyle, it has a tendency to allow us to live to a longer age category. Jeff Janess is the head of our pension program for the Church of God, and I was talking to him some years ago, and he says, we have a lot of problems with our pension program because Church of God pastors live too long. He says, it messes us up. The average Church of God pastor lives 8 years longer than the mortality rate. Did you know that, Chip? Did you know that? Okay, you do now. So if you want to live longer, just get your credentials and become a Church of God pastor. I guess that's how it works. I don't know. But we know that when we have wisdom, it helps us to prolong a lifestyle that is pleasing unto God. Then the last part of this verse says, and you shall prosper. So prosperity is the fourth thing. Now again, I don't want you to think about this strictly in financial terms, because that skews what he's saying here. Prosperity is not necessarily the accumulation of assets. It's the ability to use the assets that you have in a pleasing and wonderful way. There are individuals who are prosperous who may not have an asset base high enough that they would qualify as being a successful person in the world of business. This is what it's talking about. When we have honesty in the way that we treat others, when we have a solid work ethic, when we have dependability, it's almost unusual when we don't have rewards that come with that. Prosperity is much more than accumulation. It's the ability to take what you have and use it in such a way that it brings joy not only to your life, but the life of the people that are around about you. The fifth thing is peace. Chapter 3 and verse 17. You still with me this morning? Peace. Her ways, and again, using the word her, it's wisdom. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. This was written by a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon had an occasion where individuals brought him a child. Both of the mothers claimed that it was their child. Solomon had to make a decision. Whose child is it? He said, well, we'll just cut the child in half. We'll give half to one mother, half to the other mother. The mother who was the real mother said, absolutely not. I would rather give up this child than to see it maimed. He said, you are the real mother. Somehow Solomon, in his wisdom, was able to bring peace. Do you know those individuals who are peacemakers? Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Those individuals who can come into chaotic situations and know how to handle them in such a way that it brings a positive win-win result. It produces peace. When you have wisdom, you know how to deal with individuals who are quarreling. Now, it says, if it is possible, live at peace with all men. Sometimes it's not possible. But an individual who is filled with wisdom has the ability to come into situations that are chaotic and confusing and to bring clarity and peace into the situation. Chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. The next one, the sixth one. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. This has to do with poise. These are individuals who know how to act even when everything around them seems to be falling apart. Somehow they are able to maintain their poise. They don't allow fear to overwhelm them. They are aware of the issues, but they maintain their poise. It's not cockiness or arrogance. It is a confident wisdom that God has everything under control. I'm going to keep putting one step in front of the other and keep walking down the path. Number 7, chapter 4, verse 6. By the way, these are not the only benefits of wisdom, but since I usually only preach for an hour or so, I didn't want to go too many with you this morning. There are some others that you can find in your scriptures as you look through the book of Proverbs. The seventh one is found in verse 6 of chapter 4. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom gives you the ability to stay away from potentially dangerous financial and emotional and physical situations. Have any of you ever gotten this type of an email in the last few months? Dear so-and-so, in my case it would be Tom, I am from Nigeria. And my uncle, brother's son died, and he left a fabulous amount of money. And somehow I was chosen to receive that money. And so all you have to do is send $5,000 over here for me to take care of the red tape of filing all of this, and I'm going to send you this money. Well, I fell for that about 4 times, and finally I figured out it didn't work. No, it doesn't work. Wisdom gives you the ability to protect oneself. Wisdom gives you the ability to protect yourself emotionally. When you run up against individuals that you know are going to do something which is harmful to your emotional stability, you have the protection of wisdom behind you. The eighth one is found in chapter 8 and verse 12. And it is a word that I rarely use called prudence. Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. It's not a word that we use very often, but it occurs 12 different times in the book of Proverbs. It occurred twice in the first 7 verses that we read earlier today. Prudence means to use caution, or when we grew up in Kentucky, it was just common, ordinary horse sense. It's just good sense. It's just, is this normal? Is this sound right? That's what prudence really is talking about. It keeps you from making poor decisions that you know that you shouldn't have made. Now, are you convinced that wisdom is something that's worth pursuing? If you are, and I certainly hope that you are, we have to figure out, how does wisdom work? How do you get it? How do you keep it? How do you grow it? Now, Proverbs also tells us about that. How does wisdom work? When you got up this morning, you didn't pour yourself a cup of coffee and then pour a little poison in your coffee instead of sugar or cream. Why didn't you do that? Because you knew that the consequences of putting poison into your coffee was going to kill you, or at least hurt you. And that very same principle is the core around which wisdom is built, and that is this. There are always consequences to the decisions that you make. And I hope if you don't get anything else, you get this one. There are always consequences to the decisions that you make in life. Sometimes we try to ignore those. And sometimes we say, it's not going to bother me. It's not going to hurt me. You see, there's no real mystery about wisdom. When you consistently make good decisions based upon the Word of God, there are consequences for those decisions. When you consistently make bad decisions, disregarding the Word of God, there are consequences that come from that as well. Our problem is not that there are consequences. Our problem is sometimes they're not immediate. Because some consequences are immediate, and some consequences are delayed. And when consequences are delayed, it doesn't mean they're never going to happen. It just means they're delayed. Let me give you some examples. You're walking down US 19, and you decide, I think I'm going to go to the other side. Now, we all know who live in this area that US 19 is a pretty busy street. And so you, without looking, you just simply dart across the road, and you get to the other side, and you make it. And you say, see, I told you nothing's going to happen. You say, I can do this anytime. And you might make it once or twice, but eventually the consequences are going to catch up with you, and you're going to be a statistic. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, see, that's the prepositions. Now here's the consequences. Verse 31. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Either way. You know, there are always individuals who say, well, you know, I can do whatever it is, and it won't affect me. I can eat pizza and ice cream every day and never gain weight. Maybe for a day or two, but I am living proof that that cannot happen. You know, I share this testimony with you only because Gary has given me permission to share it with you, Gary Hawks, and not to try to bring embarrassment or anything to him. But there are individuals who say, I can smoke two or three packs of cigarettes a day and never have any health problems. And my friend Gary did that for years, and he developed lung cancer. And now Gary is in his office, and I'm going to have him share his testimony with you here in a few weeks. Now Gary goes into his office, and he says, look, this is the consequences of what I did. You want to be where I am? I want you to quit smoking. Now, you have to decide that for yourself. That's an issue that you have to decide between you and the Lord. But to simply say that we're going to abuse ourselves for a period of time and never suffer consequences is crazy. Yeah, you can yell and scream at your kids once and have them respect you. You do that for a long period of time and see if they'll respect you. You might be able to cheat on your income taxes and not get caught, but do it over a period of time and your soul is going to suffer the consequences if your bank account doesn't. You can't ignore God all week and come on Sunday morning and expect to maintain a close personal relationship with Him. Why do you think such things? Because there's not immediate consequences. Life is a buildup of the decisions that we make, and the consequences immediately come to us. Excuse me. And Proverbs teaches us that consistent long-term behavior produces consequences. Eventually, those consequences will catch up to us. Now, there are dozens of proverbs that deal with this theme, and obviously we're not going to talk about them all. If you do not believe that there is consequences to the decisions that you make, you will never acquire wisdom. There is a term that we use in psychology, and it's called an enabler. An enabler is an individual who removes the consequences from other people. You and I have been called in the Word of God to help individuals, but we've not been called to be an enabler. This can happen with our children. We remove all the consequences of their bad behavior. I'm not saying that you are oppressive to them, but kids need to learn at an early age that when they do something that's wrong, there's a consequence to that. If they don't learn that, they get to be teenagers and they say, there's no consequences to this kind of lifestyle. If they don't learn it as a teenager, they get to be an adult and they say, there's no consequences to this. And sometimes in our generous hearts and in our compassion and in our love for people, we become enablers rather than helping. And though our goal is to try to help people, we wind up not helping them at all, but contributing to their problem. So how does wisdom begin? How do we become a helper and not an enabler? Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You start on the path of wisdom by putting God first, by fearing God. This does not mean that you bow down and you're afraid to do anything because you're afraid you're going to do it wrong. The fear of God is a reverential fear. It's a fear that says, I love God so much, I want to please Him. I love my wife so much, I don't want to do anything that would detract from our relationship together. I love my son so much, I don't want to do anything that would harm our relationship. And so when we say the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, we're saying to Him, God, You are the source of wisdom, and I am the learnee, and I am going to try to find out what You want me to do. Because if You will show me what it is that You want me to do, I will walk in Your path. Now, He's a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace. He's not going to strike you over the head if you make wrong decisions. He's going to abundantly reach out with His love for you. Let's look at verses 22 and 23 in chapter 1. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. God wants to make His will known to you. He wants you to be wise in the decisions that you make. And He says, if you will listen to my rebukes, I will continue to open up the pathways for you. If you simply turn me aside and refuse to listen to my word, if you refuse to walk in my ways, why should I give you more advice? You aren't following that which you've got right now. The God of the universe wants to teach us about life. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He wants to show us the paths of righteousness. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to help us to make good decisions. Now, over the next 31 days, I want you to take a wisdom primer. The book of Proverbs. Back in the year, I went back and looked at some of the notes that I preached before, and I asked you for this in 2000 to do this. Over the next 31 days, I want you to read one chapter of Proverbs every day. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. There are 31 days in most months, not all, of course. But wisdom comes from knowing and understanding God's Word and applying it to our life by making good decisions. These are very practical applications of what God has for you and your life. So I want to challenge you over, you don't have to start tomorrow, but whenever you would like to start, I want to challenge you to read through the book of Proverbs for 1 month with an open heart, with saying, Lord, teach me, here I am, this is Your servant, I want to know what You want me to do. And I would say to you that if you will do that after 31 days, you will be a wiser person. You may not go from 0 to 10, but you will be a wiser person. You will be moving up the wisdom stick. Now let me close by saying this. God's Word is precious to us. God's Word sometimes rebukes me, and I'm sure He sometimes rebukes you. You're not going to make the right decision every time. I've never made the right decision every time. But God is a God of love and mercy and grace and reaches out for you. But the stronger you can make good decisions, the greater quality of life, the more joy you will have, the more you will be able to witness to the gospel and grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, You're just an awesome God. Whenever I read through Proverbs, I am challenged and chastised. And I always say, why didn't I think of this before? And when I read through the book of Proverbs and I look at the wisdom that you have for us, I'm a fool not to gather wisdom from the greatest person of all time, from the wisest individual of Solomon, who has given these words through the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit from God himself. Why would I choose to ignore such wonderful advice? Father, help me as pastor of this church to make good decisions. Help me as a father and as a husband to make good decisions. Help me as a friend to those in need to make good decisions. Help me in my financial areas of life to make good decisions. Help me in the relationships that I enjoy with people in this congregation to make good decisions. Help me, Father, when I get up tomorrow, that you would lead me and guide me into the paths you have for that day. Help me make good decisions and gain wisdom by the fear of the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? John?
I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than words can say. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by you.